pressure is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Now back from his trip around the United States. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, a real bona fide doctor, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And it is our privilege to introduce our guest tonight, the great Willie Nelson.
Hello, Rick.
Get right up there in that mic, Willie.
Okay.
Willie is the first
He's
thought.
He's never seen one of those before, Adam.
You have really scary
thank
looking.
Thank
thing.
You for instructing him.
You speak in, and then your voice comes out over the radio. It's
what
crazy.
Do I think of next?
Willie, I have quite a few questions for Willie Nelson, who's I think is safe to say he's a legend. And one of them just a comment, which is smart, which is, you look exactly how I thought you were going to look in person, and probably the same as you did 25 years ago, and it was smart to create a look early on and never change it because no one thinks you're getting old.
Yeah, I learned that from a guy named Grandpa Jones, and I learned it. I guess I started doing it, but I noticed that he never got older. He started out with a beard, and when I first saw him, and he was in his 20s, and then as he got older, he never aged.
The same.
Yeah,
right,
there's nothing worse. If anyone has ever seen the lead singer from Loverboy, they'll know that it's important. You should establish an older look earlier. So you end up getting fat and your hair falls out and you look like hell.
You grow a beard as soon as you can.
Grow a nice gray beard now.
Yeah.
And then also, I was thinking about this with Bin Laden. If you ever have to take it on the lam, there's something to shave off. Do you know what I mean?
You can change it then.
If Willie Nelson gets into more trouble with the IRS or more trouble with an ex-wife or has to take it on the lam at some point,
if
Willie Nelson shaves that beard clean and gets himself like a nice page boy haircut, he can go anywhere in the country and be left alone.
Well, I don't know. I shaved in that new album.
Wait a minute.
Shaving on that album there.
Well, it is true. But
so I've already screwed all that up.
Yeah, all right.
I don't recognize your hair.
Yeah, it's not really.
It
looks a lot like
transform.
Me.
Who is this?
Still got a little goatee.
Well, yeah, it's just sort of a few days' growth there. Yeah.
The Great Divide, by the way, is the new album that Willie's alluding to.
There's a book, too.
Yes, that is out in record stores as we speak. And go ahead and plug that book, Drew, if you're so anxious to do it.
The book is called The Facts of Life and Other Dirty Jokes. The CD features songs with other singers, right?
Yeah, Sheryl Crow, one of them.
Yeah, Bonnie Raitt, Rob Thomas, Kid Rock, Leanne Womack.
Sheryl Crow, by the way, invited me to her birthday party tonight. I don't know if you got invited, Willie, but...
No, I didn't get invited, but I did.
Interesting.
I didn't know it was her birthday, though.
Well,
I don't see any end. It was there where they said happy birthday to all those folks. Older age, too, but I'm not going to say that.
40 years old.
Yeah, you're right.
See, she should have grown that beard in her 20s.
She looks pretty good.
She does. I think she got a good genetic hand dealt to her. But now, how many of these people have you worked with before, or how many of these people contacted you, or how many did you contact, or how did all that go?
Well, I have worked with several of them before, but on this particular project, the producer, Matt Cerletti, called them up and asked them if they'd like to participate. And but Sheryl Crow and I have worked together on a couple of things. Bonnie Raitt. It's the first time Leanne Womack and I had worked together. Brian McKnight, the first time I'd met him.
Yeah, he's a tall sip of water.
Nice
isn't
guy,
he?
Though.
Good singer, yeah.
Very, very nice, yeah.
And Kid Rock, we met on a couple of years ago. We did Woodstock together, so that's where I met him. And who else did we forget?
Rob Thomas from
Thomas.
Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a good lineup, and I'm guessing we're going to hear some songs. Yeah, we'll hear the one with Rob Thomas from it tonight and possibly something else. So just going over the stat sheet, has recorded over 200 records. That seems just absolutely amazing to me. Is that 200 full-length records, or does that include singles?
Well, it's full-length records, and some of them could be double albums, too.
Wow. It just seems like five lifetimes worth of work. Sold more than 33 million CDs. Well, but to be fair, you only have to sell like 100 of each one of these records to get to 33 million, don't you? I mean, if you do 200 records, you got to sell like 180.
You can press up that many and sell them in your garage.
And here's the one I like. I like owed the IRS 32 million bucks. That's good. But got it down to 9 million and paid it off, or still owe them?
No, I paid them off.
Oh, the sons of bitches. Yeah. Dirty, dirty bastards. All right, so that's all square. You're on your bus.
Yep.
We got we got the new CD to hear, and we also got a bunch of dates where Willie will be rolling through and visiting you in the weeks to come. So I'll give those out too, but we'll take some phone calls first. Ben?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, first I gotta say hello to Willie Nelson.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I saw you, I think it was like 1984, 1983, you did Farm Aid at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
And my my folks hauled me there, and
you were three.
I would have been six or seven.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I've been a big fan ever since.
Well, so thank you very much.
That was my main reason. Well, not my main reason for calling, but since it was you, I finally made the leap and called the show. But I actually had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, my girlfriend and I kind of have, I don't know, like marathon sex.
Yeah.
And
I like the way our callers tone it down for Will on Willie's behalf. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
there's a certain reverence.
Yes, thank you.
And
when you show us a little bit of that once in a while, go ahead.
What ends up happening is by the end of it, after four or five ejaculations, not that there's much there.
In one evening?
Yes.
Wow.
24.
It becomes really sensitive down there.
Yeah, no kidding.
And
what is your question?
It's bleeding.
Well, is there something wrong with that?
No. There's something wrong with you. No. There's something wrong with you having five emissions.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary. It will hurt. You can hurt yourself by doing that too much.
Really?
I mean, not harm yourself, but you can cause yourself discomfort.
All right. Well, my main concern is it becomes very sensitive down there. I gotta, like, lay on my back naked usually just till I go to sleep, but
let's just replace any other part of your body with the story you're describing to me. Like you rubbed your arm until it hurt so much that you had to like hold it out the window of your car and keep it away from you for hours at a time. Next time around, wouldn't you like not do that? Not do what caused all that discomfort? No, I guess not.
Well, I don't know. We just get to going, and
yeah, all right. But you understand that you were having sex for 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky you didn't spit your nutsack out of the end of your penis.
Your soul.
Yeah, or your soul didn't come out. That happened to me once. And then I had to go track it down. I had to use a shop vac to get it. And I never did put it back in, true.
Like a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, I had to go collect my soul with a shop vac. But Ben, that's enough. You did 4 hours. Just cut it down to three.
Right. See? Okay.
That's all.
All right. Well, I didn't really realize it would hurt. I was
right.
concerned about it.
But now you are. Now you do realize. Now you know.
The girlfriend would, you know, touch me down there, and it's just
cut it back. I mean, she's probably uncomfortable, too. Probably.
If it hurts to do that, don't do that.
There you go. Very simple.
All right, Ben.
All right.
From the mouth of Willie Nelson, Ben.
There you go.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. And, if you're ever camping and you're roasting marshmallows and you're holding a stick out over the campfire and your hand starts to feel warm and then it starts to burn, you gotta pull it back.
Pull it away. No, leave your hand in the fire.
It'll start to blister.
That's right.
All right, buddy?
All righty.
All right. All right.
Gotta love our callers.
Yeah.
Ouch!
4 hours. All right. I don't have a combined 4 hours, by the way.
In your lifetime?
No.
Yeah.
If you combined every sexual encounter I've had, you got about an hour 45, hour 50, but not four. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I got a girlfriend who lives in Arkansas. I live in Dallas, Texas, pretty much. And she moved down here about a year ago. And she moved away after I screwed up and cheated on her. And I'm in love with her still. I mean, I'm madly in love with her.
Magically now he's madly in love. When he was cheating, it was, you know.
Well, it was like that puppy love thing, you know. But now it's like...
Now that she's gone, it's matured somehow?
Right, it's like one of those
things... No. That's not how it works, Josh. I mean, that's how infatuation works, but that's not how love works.
Oh.
Well, all right. Well, let's just say he is in love with her. What do you want to do? Get her back?
Yeah, I'm trying to debate whether or not I should just go and get her and bring her down here and move into our own house and stuff.
How old is she?
She's I thought she was 17. She's 19,
18
or
19. And how old are you?
I'm 17.
No, just
what,
relax.
What makes you think she would go with you?
I've talked to her recently, and she's expressed that she still loves me, and I still love her. I mean, we haven't ever had sex or anything, and we just love each other. I mean, it's one of those.
Why'd you cheat on her?
Huh? I had a relationship with a chick before her.
Uh-huh.
Well, that explains it.
It was a sexual relationship, and it was I wasn't getting that sexual relationship from her, so I got the relationship.
Why weren't you having the sex with her?
Well, she's kind of a heavy-set person, you know, and so I didn't really want to have sex with her. I just, like, this other girl fulfilled my fantasies, and she was just the person that I hung out with for social status.
She fulfilled every fantasy by not being fat?
Right.
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 Hold on a second.
Whoa.
Wow, this guy's got... This is weird.
Yeah.
Now, do we want to take a guess at the weight, or... what's going on here? Is this bogus?
I had that certain definite bogus...
Willie,
vibe.
What do you think? Do you think he's serious?
It sounded weird there.
Yeah. So it went south on us quick.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute.
It sounded like he's putting us on a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said she was 17, or he thought she was 17, and then it turned out she was 19.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like bogus information. I mean, why are you going to make that
up? No, he had me completely going until all of a sudden...
She's overweight.
Yeah.
Maybe... All right.
That's possible.
I'll talk to him a little more. Josh?
Uh-huh.
We're intrigued.
You're intrigued?
Yes.
Wow.
Tell us more.
Well...
How heavy is she?
She's 180.
Well,
are you physically attracted to her at all?
Yes, I am. I mean, you can look into her eyes and just get lost in them. It's just look into her eyes and you're like, I love this girl.
Well, Josh, where's your family?
My family lives next door.
Next door to you?
Yeah, next door to me.
Why were you kicked out?
Because my parents caught me cheating with this girl the girl's name's Holly, and the girl I cheated with was April. And they caught me cheating with April on Holly, and they liked Holly way more than they liked April.
They kicked you out of your house?
Yeah, they kicked me out of my house.
Hefty Holly?
Huh?
Hefty Holly?
Yeah, Holly's the hefty one, yeah.
Right.
And so they kicked me out for cheating on her, and I moved all the way to Abilene, but I just moved back, like, recently in the past 6 weeks.
Turn over the cards.
All right. This is a really bad soap opera.
Yeah.
I want to know what Willie thinks about this. What do you got to do?
All right.
What do you think?
Willie, you got to write a song about this first.
Oh, nobody would believe it. It's an unbelievable story.
Well, what do you think? I mean,
well, first of all, let's dispense with the marriage issue. Should he go run and get this girl, Hefty Holly, and marry her?
I don't know. I was trying to wonder what's wrong with the one he's having sex with.
Yeah, all right. What's wrong with her?
She's a slut.
Right. So he's just using her.
Is she fat?
No, she's not.
Hmm.
All right.
And so, but well, that's, what about marriage at 17? Good thing, bad thing?
Oop.
Willie, what do you think?
At 17?
Oh, 17.
It's not only bad, it's horrible.
Okay. The triumvirate here agrees.
Yeah.
17 is way too young.
The judges of three are saying wait another 14 years and then take a shot at it.
When did you get married first, Willie? What was your
when
age?
I was 16.
Oof. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we were both kids, had no idea what was going on. So, you know, we lasted 10 years and got a divorce.
That's pretty good for
not
that,
bad,
yeah.
You know, but I was gone a lot of that time, though, see, so, but, no, 16 is way too early.
Were you on the road at 16? Were you playing?
Yeah, I had a band.
So you were out playing?
Yeah.
16, dropped out of high school?
No, we were just playing. I waited until I got out of high school before. Then I went to the Air Force, and then I got married when I got out of the Air Force.
Wow.
And I started playing in bands and started my own band.
Where'd you grow up?
In Texas.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Where about?
Abbott, Texas. It's in central Texas between Waco and Dallas.
Hmm.
And was it one of these situations where you wanted to get out of there growing up, or did you love it?
No, I kind of liked it down there and still do. There was a lot of great places to play around Abbott, West, Waco, Hillsboro, San Antonio, Austin. And I could have been happy just hanging out down there playing the joints, but I also wanted to be a songwriter, so I went to Nashville to get that started.
Wow. And then that lasted until 26. Right?
Yeah,
age 26?
Like yeah.
And then you got married again later on down the road. Did you wait a while?
Not really, no. It seems like 10 years has sort of been the average.
Average marriage?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't look at that as a failure at all, by the way. I think that's pretty good for a job or even school, even college. I look at 10 years as a pretty solid mark.
It's not anything to be ashamed of. Really.
No.
And all my wives and I are friends, so we haven't. Haven't parted enemies or nothing.
Drew wishes he could say the same about his only wife. Megan?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
You got a question for Willie Nelson?
It's more of a, just I want to tell him something.
All right.
Here he is.
Hello.
Hi, Willie. You met my father a little while ago, I guess. A family member of yours works with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to tell you thank you for being so kind to him. When we were young, we used to go on trips, and every time we went on a trip, we would listen to On the Road Again. And it became just like, a part of our family. And my dad has loved you, and our whole family has loved you forever. And when he got to meet you, it just made his day.
Where did we meet?
You met at a concert in Anaheim.
Oh, just a few days ago.
Well, just a little while ago.
Yeah.
His name's Bobby.
Yeah, we were just there.
And he works at Disneyland.
Hey, yeah. Which, what is he? Is he one of the dwarves, or what's he do over there?
No, he just works in one of the shops. He's worked there for over 30 years.
That's a good gig. Your dad works at Disneyland.
30 years in one of the shops.
Let me tell you something.
Which shop? Come on. Hang on.
Who needs a man?
Main Street, the photo supply company, on Main Street.
Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah, actually 33 probably now.
Wow.
It's been quite a while.
Wearing like a straw hat and a bad vest.
The red and white stripe.
Yeah, like the
barbershop. He always has a different outfit on. They make him wear all kinds of crazy stuff.
Let me say this. Thanks for calling, Megan, by the way. That's a job that maybe some adults might scoff at. You've been working at Disneyland your whole life. You don't own the place. You're just a punch in the clock, as they say. But as a kid, no one's parents end up doing anything anyway. They have some business they try to get off the ground that doesn't work out, or they work for some law firm, doesn't pay any dividends for the kids. Well, I'd rather have a dad instead of just being like a junior principal at some crappy high school. Why not just work at Disneyland? It'd be a better life for the kids.
It smacks of stability. Listen how sane she sounds.
Yeah.
Megan sounds great.
She's been living off of cotton candy for 30 years now. Yeah. She's excited about the Willie Nelson.
Life is one big Kodak moment for her.
Yeah. Dad wearing a different outfit every time.
She's seen everything at Disneyland, probably.
Yeah, probably. Going twice a week for her entire life. Hey, you want to hear a Willie Nelson song?
Yeah, Maria. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is one with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, who's been on this show a couple times and a good guy. This is off the new Willie Nelson CD, and it's called Maria.
just calm down. In these situations I found, not to be proud.
Say that your mom is worried.
Shut up and kiss me. Stop shaking, stand up and hold me. I bet you're gonna miss me. You need me, believe me, Maria. Shut up and kiss me. You're crazy and it turns me on.
Our guest, the great Willie Nelson, with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, off The Great Divide, which is the new CD. Willie is going to be on tour and has a whole bunch of dates here that I'm going to tell you about, and also tell you about the book, The Facts of Life, and Other Dirty Jokes. His name is Willie's second book. And we'll take more of your calls and do all of that right after this. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The legend, Willie Nelson, has been kind enough to join us tonight. The new CD is called The Great Divide, and the book is called The Facts of Life and Other Dirty Jokes. Both out as we speak on a tour. You can find Willie in his big brown bus pulling into a town near you. And it's going to be in Fresno and... Where the hell is Oroville?
I don't know.
That's in California somewhere. I'm surprised at all these backwater towns that are in California. I never think of it that way. We always discuss this. Yeah. But just heading up the coast from L.A. up toward San Francisco, and then a bunch of dates in Frisco at the Fillmore and Houston, Texas, and Fort Worth and Ventura. Ventura. Seems like you should get there on the way to Frisco. I'll talk to your tour manager, but a bunch of dates coming up, and you can go, I doodled on Willie's website thing, but it's www.willienelson.com.
Yeah.
There you go. And if you want any tour dates or any facts about Willie, that's where you go, to the willienelson.com. All right.
There's LostHighwayRecords.com, right?
Right.
Okay.
You can go to that and find out what?
Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's talk to William, who's 19. William?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm having a problem coming out to my big brother and my grandparents.
What's the problem?
About being homosexual.
What's the problem?
Well, I asked my mom about this, and she said I shouldn't tell my grandma because of the fact that she might blabberate to the rest of the family.
And why would that be a problem?
Well, we have some... pretty homophobic people in our family, and pretty offensive people that, you know, should probably actually hurt me if they found out.
All right, so then you shouldn't come out to your grandparents, just in the interest of prudence.
Well, what are those old codgers going to do, throw their teeth at you?
No, it's going to tell the nieces and nephews, and there's probably some...
Well, who's going to hurt you?
Well, there would probably be some of my cousins, and...
They find out you're gay and come up and... cold cock yet, Thanksgiving or something?
Probably, yeah.
Really?
Right, I mean, they're
a bad family.
Yeah, there are bad families, and they're bad people, and that is why you should, in the interest of prudence, take away homosexuality and fill in the blank with something else, that if you tell your family they're going to hurt you, you wouldn't do it. It just makes sense not to do it. They don't need to know that about you. They aren't good people that you want to associate with all the time intimately. They don't deserve that. And so that's it. You've told your parents, they embrace you. That's great.
And well, I said mom. What about your dad?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
What about your dad?
My dad doesn't live with me. He's an asshole, so...
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't want to talk to me anymore, so...
All right.
That's his problem.
Yeah. Sounds like you got a little axe to grind with these people, though, William.
Yeah, but I really want to tell my big brother. But he's in prison right now, and so he has a lot to worry about.
Yeah, again, so you want to get him hurt?
Yeah, why? Listen, William.
Yeah.
I understand you're angry at your family because they're horrible people. And now you feel like there's a feeling like you want to sort of...
Even a score.
Even it up with them. You know they're going to hate to hear this, so here goes. But why don't you get over that and just sort of lead your life?
You got a big brother's
in prison. You got a no-count dad. You got screwball grandparents and abusive cousins. How about just breaking away and doing your own thing?
You're still engaged in a dance with them that is harmful to you. Just disengage.
Yeah. Is it that important that they know?
Disengage.
You don't even like them.
Get on with your life.
You're right. I should live on with my life.
Yeah, just live your life. This is one of the perks of being gay. You get a partner. You start a business. You get that twin income. You don't have the kids running around. You get to take separate vacations, and no one's pissed off about it. You recycle a lot. It's a good life. You drive a two-seater your whole life. You never have to get a minivan. It's a great life. You know, poor Drew over here, he tells me every night, oh, I want a sports car. Man, I want a sports car, but I can't. I got the kids. They're going to screw it up. They're going to vomit in the back. I'm going to crayons melting in the back of my Jag, and the wife wouldn't let me get it. Poor Drew over here. If you were gay, you'd be driving a one-seater, right?
A two-seater.
Oh, still two?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you got to throw the guy
the
picnic basket or whatever in the passenger seat. But if you were gay, you'd be driving like a 1950s Austin Healey with some Herb Alpert cranking and a scarf blowing in the background. You'd be wearing that cap and a tweed jacket, smoking a pipe and just laughing, laughing carelessly as you went down PCH on a beautiful windswept day, right?
Right.
And no, you're chained to your office, the kids are calling, they're vomiting all over the place.
Oh, reminds me, my kids brought you a letter.
Oh, your kids drove me a letter?
Yeah, they want you to build a treehouse for them.
See, this is what happens. This is what I'm talking about. Now I'm getting sucked into this horrible life.
And then my daughter wants to create a society called Kids Powering Kids or something to go clean up the environment.
Okay, listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If you're black, if you're a woman, if you're a lesbian,
kids in power.
Get in a group. If you're in a group that you're going to grow out of in 4 years, don't get in a group. What do you do as the head of Kids Incorporated on your 15th birthday? You know what I mean? You're screwed.
It's going to have money for orphanages and weather shelter for homeless people.
No, I'm against both those things.
I want to set this up.
What weather? It's nice out here.
Here's a note for you.
Okay. Uh-huh. The kids want me to come over and build them a tree house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
Will you please help build a tree house? I'd really like it. Can you please? That's from Paulina, the daughter.
Okay. She's the one that wrote it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have my attorney look at this stuff, Drew, and then they'll get a formal response out to the kids, but tell them not to keep their fingers crossed. See, this is what these kids don't have a good enough life. They need me coming over and building them a treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Willie. I'm right about the gay life. It's a good life if you can tolerate the penis part, right?
Well, I would think so. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with it at all. I have no. Looks like a fairly peaceful existence.
Yeah.
From what I've noticed and observed through the years.
I think it's better than the heterosexual life. Chris, you know, I wish I was gay, Drew.
I know
and
that.
And I'm working on it. Don't worry.
It makes me a little nervous, in fact,
no,
sometimes.
Don't worry, but I'm working.
Well, that you're going to run off with someone else.
Christina?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Okay. I've known this guy for about a year, and we finally got together this weekend. And, he asked me to give him head, so I was. And while I was doing that, he told me to spin on him. And, you know, at the time I was thinking, why am I fixing to spin on this guy, you know? And later on, you know, I asked some friends, and they're guessing some form of lubrication. But I'm thinking my tongue, you know, that's lubrication enough for you. And
yeah.
And I'm wondering.
He wanted you to spit on his penis? He wanted you to.
Yeah.
Weren't you asking about this in pornography or something?
Yeah.
Ron Jeremy?
There is a kind of trend in pornography where they're sort of slobbering all
I'm
over.
I'm guessing maybe it's some form of turn on for him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he could have been influenced by these movies. Maybe that was it. So did you do it?
Yeah, I did it.
How do you do that? Do you just hawk one right on it?
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to give a little, you know, like a little or a.
Yeah. I did that. Hit the guy right in the balls.
Yeah.
Couldn't line it up. Yeah. Hey. All right. So now your question is,
why?
I was just wondering, is that something normal or?
Maybe it's a trend. It's something unusual. But as Adam mentioned, it's now hot in the pornographic film industry.
I would have though. It. How old is he?
He's 23.
Ooh. Ooh. You're 17, baby.
Yeah, I know.
What's that all about?
I have no idea. He's really. I don't know. I've known him for a year, you know, and somehow this happened. And
well, somehow, because he's been waiting in the brush, waiting to pounce on you, and you finally gave him an opportunity. Why do you think he's been hanging out all year?
Huh?
How do you know this guy?
I used to work with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
What kind of place?
McDonald's. He was a store manager.
All right. And are you in love with him?
No. I mean, I used to, like, have strong feelings for him.
He's a man. Does his penis taste like French fries? Because I used to work at McDonald's, and my fingers, my cuticles would smell like onions and French fries for weeks after getting off that place.
No,
I can only imagine what my penis would have smelled like.
Do you stick your penis in the fryer?
I did. I took a leak in the freezer once. My last day.
So.
It was a defiant move.
Oh,
I was 16.
Oh, my God.
I had to do it.
Oh,
it screwed me over.
Oh.
Come on, $2.65 an hour? Kiss my ass. So, Christina.
Yeah.
So, are you done with this guy, or is there more?
He called me this weekend, and because this happened last weekend, and he asked me to come over again,
sure.
And I was busy. I was at a party. And, you know, then he started, like, getting into the subject of, what are you wearing right now? And I was like, oh, I gotta go.
So, he called you that night, wanted you to come over that night.
Yeah, it's kind of like he thinks I'm his booty call or something.
Right. All right. All right, so you're done with this guy, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's enough.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
I'll tell you, guys are brazen these days, Willie, with the, you know, like the oral sex is not enough. I need more.
That's even a little shocking to guys my age when, you know, oral sex is sort of a given, you know.
Oh, it's just a shad after, a tiny bit after making out comes, shoom, there it comes.
Yeah, it's considered no big deal.
Yeah, it's like heavy petting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something diabolical about it because it sort of takes the whole issue of intercourse out of the equation. You know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, women have to sort of subjugate themselves to get there.
Yeah. I mean, I wish this trend was in place when I was in high school. That's for damn sure.
It was a little late coming, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen,
didn't arrive. It was like CDs and cell phones.
One
all
of the
things I could have used.
This issue.
Color TV.
This would have been at the top of the list. For Drew, it was the radio.
Highlighted for me, again, the difference between men and women. I was in Mississippi yesterday. The woman stood up and goes, why are guys so into oral sex? Adam, why?
Because we have penises.
Yeah,
that's
right. Because it feels good. And they're like, what? What?
Yeah.
What?
Also, though, I think Willie will agree with me on this. I like the idea of someone's mouth on my penis. It's not only the feeling, but I like the idea of it.
It's a nice picture.
Yeah, it's nice. It means you've arrived. Your penis has arrived. That's what it means. All hail the penis. All right, Willie Nelson is our guest tonight. We're going to take a... question for Willie when we come back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Willie Nelson has joined us here in the Loveline studio tonight, talking a little about the bus, life on the road, having satellite on that bus.
Woo-hoo!
Never, I've ridden in a few limos that had the TV set, but...
They never work.
Completely useless.
Yeah, yeah. This is the VCR part. That's what they have it there for.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think so.
Well, what are you doing? Packing tapes with you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're going out to eat?
Actually, my kids have brought tapes.
Oh, yeah. Those kids. Yeah. Oh, for now, the first with the treehouse, now the tapes, the Disneyland 10 times a year. Drew, you better start getting those kids prepared for life. It's going to be a big step down once they get out of that fantasy land they're living in. Start preparing them. Let's send them to boot camp over at my house.
Yeah.
All right, forget that. That's not going to work. That's a horrible idea.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah, I'll get up at 6. Forget getting up at 6 every morning. I'll just stay up until 6 every morning. I'll be in an extra bad mood when I go in the room and kick the door in and start smacking the garbage can around with the toilet bowl brush or big wooden spoon in there,
right,
yelling at them. Your last easy day was yesterday. You don't. All right. The Great Divide is the name of the CD. Also, a book out called The Facts of Life and Other Dirty Jokes. All out as we speak. Willie embarking on a tour as well. And we'll be coming to a town near you. www.willienelson.com is where you can find all the information. And speaking of Willie Nelson, let's talk to Brett, who's 43. Brett?
Yeah, good evening, Adam, Dr. Drew, and especially Willie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. I've been a longtime fan of yours. I when I lived in Texas, there was 3 shows of yours we had to catch every year. The 4th of July in Austin,
mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve at the Summit in
right.
Houston, and then you do once a year this little show at Flores Country Store down in Bandera.
John T. Flores, right.
Remember that place?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. I got a question for you. First, I want to let Adam know, I got a solution for your coffee problem you're always talking about. There's a coffee maker where it just brews right into a thermal carafe.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh, they're awesome. You just take the coffee outside. Anyway, Willie, you've been in the business, the music business, for so long.
Yeah.
What changes have you seen, and where do you see the direction going, and what's the chance for a young artist to make it in the business?
Well, we were talking about if what would happen if guys like, in country music, if somebody like Hank Williams were to show up today, how much trouble would he have? And I think, probably he might have a lot. Things have changed a lot since I went to Nashville. They're looking for different things. I'm not sure they're looking for the right things, but they're looking for different things these days. But I've noticed that music travels in a cycle, and you start out with the good traditional stuff, and then you start watering it down, and first thing, you don't have anything, but then it winds back around again, and supply and demand will get you back to the good stuff. So I would just advise you to keep doing what you're doing.
Where are we now in the cycle?
Right now we're headed back to the good stuff.
Are we?
Yeah.
Great. What do you think of the modern country music now?
Well, some of it I like, and I don't know, some of it, again, doesn't really sound that country to me, because, to me, country is a fiddle and a steel guitar. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Music, now, to me, that's country.
And
I think that's another indication of where the music is headed. I think a lot of the young people want to know where the roots are. They want to go back to the beginning and find out what they missed along the way and what brought not only country music but all kind of music up to where it is right now.
Well, thank you, Willie. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Adam, Dr. Drew, your screener, she sounds like a real hottie.
Yeah, she is. Pain in the ass, but good looking, this one. All right, Brett. Hey, thanks for the thermos craft,
the
idea.
Craft.
Yeah.
The coffee will never burn on you again.
Is this at the home or here?
I'll pick one up.
Here?
Yeah, I think he's talking about for home use.
Yeah.
You can brew your coffee and bring it in for the studio. The one that I've got will keep the coffee hot for 4 to 6 hours.
Whatever.
All right. All right, and what do you like? You like a French roast or like a Colombian roast? Or what are you into, Brett?
Oh, I like any kind of coffee.
Okay, buddy.
It's hot and fresh.
Thank you there. Take care of yourself. Thanks for the coffee tip. I do like my coffee. And here's the problem with coffee, and this is really the problem with life. Wouldn't you guys say this is the problem with life? You treat yourself, you grow up, my whole life I'm swinging a hammer for a living. I'm going to 7-Eleven. I'm drinking the watered-down crap, the kind of coffee where you can see 4 or 5 inches down into the cup before you lose the vision.
Right, right.
And it's a bad 7-Eleven junk I'm drinking on the way to work, 7 in the morning with the crappy powdered non-dairy creamer in there and all that. Then I get a little older. I get a little money. I get a little refinement. So I get the whole bean. I get the grinder. I get the fresh cream. I get the whole thing. Now, that's great, but I'm horribly disappointed everywhere else I go now. And this is what life is. Is this not life now?
Oh, it's a trouble. No, it's all the way through. It's things like that.
Yes, whereas I used to, at a certain stage, look forward to the bad 7-Eleven stuff that I didn't know was bad at the time. Now it is wretched and has destroyed my day if I have to do that.
Well, Starbucks has ruined everything, you know.
Yeah. That's what happened to country music too.
Yeah.
I blame that on Starbucks as well.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, is country music now? Is it? Has the video screwed this up? That everyone has to be young and fresh faced, and you know, the guys have to have big arms, and the girls have to have a tight ass. I mean, has that been a part of it?
I think maybe so. It's marketing, you know. They want someone that looks good in the video. So you're probably right. It does have a lot to do with it.
And maybe the attempt of, you know, it's interesting, and I'm trying to, you know, I guess all music does this, but country, you hear about it all the time, which is there's constantly these acts that are attempting to broaden the country audience by not doing country music. You know, it's sort of ironic. Like, you're saying, well, Shania Twain, you know, she's gonna take, instead of the country audience, she's gonna get everyone into country music by not really playing country music.
Right, right.
So it becomes sort of a catch 22.
Yeah.
Is the Dixie Chick in that sort of?
I like the Dixie Chicks in that they may not be playing, it may be a little more pop than it is country, but they do a fair amount of country stuff. And those chicks play those instruments, okay.
Yeah, they're
too.
Good musicians.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's nothing sexier than a good-looking blonde wailing away on a fiddle. And the other one playing like a cider jug or a wash tub or something. I can't remember what
that's
other one
plays. That's kind of sexy looking when they
isn't
run
it?
Into those jugs.
And then they have to have those huge wind fans coming up from underneath them.
Blowing their dress up, yeah.
As they blow the jug, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's like Ellie Mae from Beverly Hillbillies. I used to love it. I loved it when Ellie Mae would handle them animals, too. That's always nice, too. When a hot-looking chick is herding pigs, you know? Get on. Get in there. That's exciting.
Bunch of sheep.
Get in there. Wait for me.
Ellie had a whole bunch of animals in it, you know, ponytails. And
what is it about that rope waist belt?
That was hot, too.
Yeah, what is that?
Ellie had that
Why?
Rope. I don't know. But it worked. It really did work. John?
Yes?
You're 34?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, the sad part is Ellie Mae is now 67, still got the rope belt, and is doing the country fair scene. That's when it gets a little scary. John?
Yeah.
All right, so 34, what's up?
Nothing much. Good evening. Willie Nelson.
Hello.
I just wanted to say a special shout out to you. I love The Great Divide. It's nice to see that the Sheryl Crows, Kid Rocks, and Rob Thomas's can give props to the original, the one and only Willie Nelson.
Thank you very much.
Because I had the opportunity and the pleasure of catching your show at a riverboat casino at the end of August up here in Washington State. And besides being a sellout, which goes without saying up here every time, the house was rocking and your singing and your playing is suffer none. So keep it going, keep that bus rolling, and we'll be out there for you, brother.
All right, thanks.
John, you're going to have to hang on for a second, though, for your questions.
All right.
Heap so much praise on Willie, couldn't get to his question, but that's fine because we'll take a little break. Willie Nelson will hang out with us. We'll get back with John's question after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Willie Nelson has been kind enough to join us in the studio tonight. The Great Divide is the name of the new CD out as we speak. And if you're wanting to see Willie, you can check him out. Go to www.willienelson.com and just find the date. That'll have all the tour dates on it, right, Willie?
Right.
Tell you where to find him. And Willie, are you on the road constantly?
Well, a couple of hundred days a year.
And has that been going on for your whole life,
years,
essentially?
Years, yeah.
And obviously, you want to do it. Do you need to do it? You don't need to do it at this point.
Well, maybe not financially. But I don't know. Maybe if I stopped and checked, I would need to do it financially. But I'm really doing it because I like it.
And it doesn't. What part of it do you like, and what part of it don't you like?
Well, I have a family, and it's difficult to be away that much from your family. So that's the worst part of the whole deal. But other than that, there's not that many negatives. It's all pretty nice. We travel in the nice buses, stay in, you know, good spots, and we're playing some of the good places and getting good crowds. So there's really not a lot of negatives, except being away from home.
Right. I've always, Drew, and we've spoken about this before, I've always been envious of musicians because you get on stage and you're doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost a feeling that sort of, I don't know, transcends thought and that kind of thing, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously, you gotta know what you're doing, but, you know, I compare it to other jobs where you're on stage and you're sort of trying to think a step ahead, you remember your joke, remember your line, read the cue card or the teleprompter, don't screw this up and don't screw that up. And to me, the musician, that just seems like a sense of freedom up there.
Yeah, that's the couple of hours a day where you don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, and now how much do you juggle the set? I mean, like, you know, you got the new CD,
well,
you're gonna be doing some new material.
Whenever it's necessary or whenever I get tired of doing one, I'll take it out and put something else in. And when I get a new CD out, I'll have to do some of those.
Right. It's got to be, is there ever any pressure, like, for instance, a song that everyone wants you to play, but you're tired of it, or maybe you weren't in love with it in the first place?
No, the songs that are, the most popular songs of the show are songs that I enjoy playing, like On the Road Again, Always on My Mind,
right.
Poncho and Lefty. I like those songs a lot when I recorded them, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And I consciously try to record songs that if by some bizarre miracle they were to become hits, that I wouldn't get tired
still
of singing them.
Playing them, yeah.
Right.
That it would be a song that I would enjoy singing.
And do you have that, in a way, I guess you answered it, but the follow-up was going to be, if there was a song that you weren't that into, but you knew the audience wanted to hear it, do you look at it as, I got to give them what they want, or I got to enjoy myself up there and keep it fresh?
Now, you remember the song, The Gambler, that Kenny Rogers had?
Sure.
I was offered that song first, and I was the one that mentioned to Kenny Rogers he should record it. I didn't want to record it because it's got too many verses in it, and I was already doing The Red-Headed Stranger, which has got a gang of verses in it, and I just didn't. I thought the song was a hit song, but I just didn't want to have to do that one every night.
Right, because it would become a hit, and then you'd be sort of
burned
with
it.
Yeah. But you didn't know he'd get that TV series out of it. Two-parter, I think. The Gambler. Yeah, Drew, you remember that?
Oh, he made two or three movies out of it.
Yeah. Wow. Then, not to mention Six Pack, which is a totally different story. That was a Kenny Rogers movie where he played a NASCAR driver and had a ragtag group of kids, like orphans. It probably wasn't as good an idea as the song The Gambler was, and I don't think there was a song called the Six Pack where he played a NASCAR driver, but worth seeing, Drew. Rent it for the kids. Ragtag group
six-pack.
Of kids. Yeah, you know, the 8-year-olds who are master mechanics.
I'd like to be in that pitch. We'll call it the Six Pack.
We'll call it Six Pack. Kenny's his name is Bruce or something. He's a washed up old NASCAR driver. He's salty as all hell. He hates kids, but guess what? He gets saddled with six lovable orphans, and he has to take them on the NASCAR circuit with him.
The love of the Disney.
And the hijinks ensue. Right. They're out stealing manifolds at 4 a.m. while he's banging whores. It's great hijinks. John?
Yeah, that ain't Stoker Ace, the Burt Reynolds movie.
No, Stoker Ace was a different movie.
Same time frame, same head.
But classic.
Right, no. same idea, yeah. That had Stoker Ace, had like Lonnie Anderson and Jim Nabors in it as his chief mechanic.
More evidence of the sheer genius of the 70s.
Well, I think that was probably a Hal Needham joint. He had a little juice back then coming off the gumball rallies and the Smoking the Bandits and just thought, let's get together with our buddies, get loaded, make a movie. We don't need a script.
No toupee problems.
No Dom DeLuise.
Dom was it. Yeah, I believe Dom was it.
Of course,
that.
He had to be there.
All right, John. So your question then was?
My question, well, to give you a little background, I haven't been dating in quite some time, and when I finally met someone and we were approaching it slow, there was quite a bit of talking and all, and the reason why I hadn't dated for almost 4 years was my fiance was killed in a car accident. And explaining this to this woman that I met at my sister's wedding, I think she'd understand the importance of honesty and everything else. And about, well, long story short, about after a month of talking and getting to know each other, we started a sexual relationship. After about 10 encounters within a week's time, she informed me, quite surprisingly, that she had herpes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And was still a carrier, of course. And at the time, I was taking antibiotics for a infection I'd received on the job and a cut I'd received. And I was wondering, it's been about 4 months now, and I haven't experienced any of the signs, any of the telltale signs.
All right. Well, we know what your question is.
You didn't get it.
Well, let's ask a couple of ones. How long ago did your fiance pass away?
It was almost 4 years ago, 3 years and 9 months.
Whoa. And how are you able to get over that?
I was able to mourn her without feeling jealous about dating anyone. So, yes, I believe I was.
All right. And what about this one with the herpes?
You mean guilty, not jealous, right?
Well, I'm sorry, guilty.
Okay. Right. And now this new girl, are you still with her? Or was this,
oh, no, no.
You broke up because of this?
Well, it was a nice, let's just say, first time out since my fiance passed away. It really was a shocker, not only to see that somebody, you know, give it up to women. They're getting more ruthless than men.
Did you wear a condom the whole time with her?
No, I did not.
That's why he's calling.
I just ask him how freaked out he is.
But wait a second, John. Not that she should win any awards for this, but...
She did tell you.
She did tell you, and she was... Probably, you know, I understand that there was probably some kind of quandary she was in. She probably liked you and wanted the relationship to keep going and sort of put it off, you know. Was scared that she might scare you away. I mean, one could interpret it that way, not that she was attempting to give you a disease. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or you can interpret it the way that, you know, you've been drinking this lemonade all week, and now guess what we put in it.
That's frankly.
If it was me, I would have informed her before we even proceeded.
But the manner in which you describe her sort of demeanor as sort of devilishly, you know, trying to poison you is frankly paranoid.
Yeah.
So if you're paranoid, you need to check that out.
Okay. Well, yeah. So what's up, John? I mean, I understand this was. You were traumatized by what happened with your fiance, but...
I understand. Well,
do you think this girl had it in for you?
No, all of that aside, and I don't believe she had it in for me. Basically, the question is...
But he's concerned.
Did I dodge a bullet by taking antibiotics?
No, that had nothing to do with it.
No, you just dodged a bullet by dodging a bullet.
Yeah, you don't get herpes every time you have contact with someone who carries that virus.
Mm-hmm.
The risks are much higher if they have an outbreak. If it's earlier on in the course of their illness, they have more viral shedding. So it's, you know, it's one of those things.
But back to the bitter part, John. Now that we've decided that you've successfully dodged the herpes bullet,
mm-hmm.
You then broke up with her.
I then told her that it'd probably be best if we cooled the relationship down, yeah.
And, so you broke up. Were you in love with her?
No, not at all.
You had no interest in her, really.
There was the attraction, of course, and everything else. And basically, yeah, I was just, you know, starting to get out there and play the field again.
All right, so this was just getting your feet wet, you know, back in the game.
Trying to get my bearings, yeah.
Okay.
Next time you wear a condom. That's what the lesson is here.
All right, all right.
That's what it is. Because somebody's going to have herpes and somebody's going to have warts and not even know it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to come in contact with them.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I don't want you to go through life sort of bitter and sort of paranoid and, you know, damaged. I mean, you find somebody,
not so much,
right?
Bitter is somebody who professes to care for you as much can put you in the position that they do.
Well,
the fact that you can't
get around this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we're saying and repeating is. She probably had an interest in you and was probably scared that she would scare you away.
And ashamed and ambivalent,
and probably hated herself the first X amount of times you guys did it, knowing that you were potentially in harm's way, and then eventually mustered the courage to tell you. Why is that perceived as almost an attack by you?
It's not really perceived as an attack. I believe you're right. You know, she probably was just holding up because she was ashamed. Right.
Okay, so why?
I don't think that anybody would want to.
Not ashamed, but that she really liked you and wanted to maintain the relationship and was scared this information would scare you off, which it did. I'm not condoning what she did. She should have told you sooner. There's no doubt about it.
I have warts.
Right. However, we're just sort of exploring why you're reacting so negatively to the.
Hey, it's just a bad way to go through life.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, John, I mean, just assume she was madly in love with you, and that's why she didn't tell you earlier.
Well, I'd like to assume that, but...
All right. I have trouble digging into a guy whose fiance was killed tragically, but Jesus Christ, John's got some energy, man, and it is bad, and it's going to keep him out of the dating scene for quite some time with that. And the other thing I can't figure out quite about John's vibe is something tragic happened to his fiance, but it shouldn't muster this bitterness in him. He should be sort of hurt, maybe angry at God kind of thing. But where's the cynicism and the anger come from? That
didn't come from her dying.
You're guessing it was around before that.
Yeah.
But a big Willie Nelson fan, so he's got to have something going for him.
Good time.
Willie, all your fans that bitter, that skeptical?
All of them, yeah.
Good.
All right, good. Well, that explains it then.
Dennis?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah, bud. What's up, Dr. Drew, Adam,
Dennis?
Willie?
Hey.
Willie, I just wanted to tell you, man, I had a great aunt that passed away probably about 7 years ago. And she was a really big fan of yours back in the 70s. She had her picture taken with you and stuff like that. And you made a really big impact on her life. And, you know, she was, you know, when she would get depressed, she'd pop on a Willie vinyl and, you know, it'd be all good. And, you know, she'd be happy again. And, you know, my Uncle Bob, he hasn't been the same, you know, since my Aunt Louise died. And, you know, what he does, though, to cope with it is that he takes out one of the vinyls and puts it on the record player and plays it. And I just wanted to thank you, Willie, you know, for making such an impact on my aunt and uncle, that your music lifts up their spirits and, you know, makes them happy. And I just wanted to thank you for being a songwriter and making a difference in my uncle and aunt's life.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Dennis.
Hey, no problem. And hey, Dr. Drew, I had a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead. I love these transitions.
I just wanted to know, I was at my sister's house it was this past weekend.
Yeah.
And she has gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just want to know if
good
that
times.
Could possibly be spread by contact, like sitting on a toilet seat.
No. That is no. You gotta have sex with her to contract.
Oh, that was his next question.
Yeah, I'm
but
sure.
He pulled out. Is there still?
Gotta work on it. Gotta work on it.
All right.
Why don't we hear a Willie Nelson song?
Yeah.
On that fine note, the gonorrhea.
You gotta wear a condom. That's my next one.
No, it's good. We'll play all the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, how about a nice safe sex PSA from Willie Nelson? Mm-hmm. Singing about that condoms and morning after.
Put on them boots.
On the toilet again.
Yeah, the condom, it could be sung from the condom standpoint. Yeah, on the toilet again. Just where I can have sex with them hookers and sleep like a baby all night. Yeah, on the toilet again. That's nice, Drew. I don't know if the people out of Southern California know that the chode is the Spanish slang for the penis, but I guess I explained it. All right, this next one is with a guy by the name of Kid Rock off of Willie Nelson's new CD, The Great Divide. Here it is.
In a western movie, saw a young gunslinger with something to prove, and I came looking like anybody else. I came searching like anybody else, looking for that gold.
Willie Nelson, everybody, along with Kid Rock, and another good one from Willie's new CD, The Great Divide, which is out as we speak. Willie Nelson is in studio tonight, helping us out with these calls and answering your questions. And let's take one for Willie before we go to break. Dan?
Sounds like he's sleeping. Danny there?
Yeah.
There he is.
What's up there, Dan? You're 36.
Unacceptable. Yeah, I'm just calling to say big fan of Willie Nelson's this evening, and it's good to hear him on two best talk show radio guys, being a first-time caller.
Well, thanks.
Hey, no problem. And this question is for Drew, and that is, and Willie, if he's got any input on it, and that is, what would you say would be, if he's heard of any studies or anything of that nature on marijuana smoking or tobacco or anything?
Right.
Being done out of, let's say, a Texas torpedo versus a water pipe.
What's a Texas torpedo?
That's a black man's penis.
Okay.
Out of a black man's penis. I don't know. A Texas torpedo must just be a pipe, right?
No, like a rolled cigarette.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's a joint. That's a joint. Okay.
Willie knows that. You can ask him.
Yeah. I know of no evidence that that makes any difference.
Well,
in terms of lung problems, no.
Well, what about it? Why not?
Nicer. It's maybe it's a little less harsh, but in terms of the problems of, let's say, take tobacco, for instance, you're not going to prevent lung cancer by taking it through water.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
and geez. Nor are you going to, again, with pot, the people get chronic bronchitis, and that's from, again, the irritation of the smoke, and that's the smoke's still going
Willie,
in.
Willie, so. Are you a bong man or a torpedo man? I see.
Well, it's you know, through the years, it's been one of, you know, different things, but it's just easier to roll one up sometime, you know, rather than have to fool with a lot of equipment.
Yeah, not for me. I look like a Get Smart or Inspector Clouseau trying to roll a joint. Stuff morphs on my tongue and fingers. You know the part I don't like about a guy rolled a joint when I was in New Orleans last week? And, you know, you always watch a guy. I like a guy who's good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something intriguing about a guy who really knows his business.
And puts filters on
him. Got it laid out. He's working on it. So he does that thing where he connects two papers together to make the big one. But at the very end, he does this move. That turns me off just a little bit, then immediately sparks it up and hands it in. That's the move where he's done rolling the joint. Now he's going to seal it by taking the entire joint, putting it in his mouth, and then just dragging it right across his lips and tongue on the way out. To me, he might as well just put it up his ass at that at that point. I just think, all right, don't worry, you'll be high in a minute. You'll not be focusing on that. But that last... Or I'll be fixating on it. I'll actually see the microbes attacking my white blood cells as I lie back on the sofa. But it's that last move. I don't mind the tongue along the top. You know, the lick move, but it's that. And I don't know if everyone does that. Willie, does that have to be done?
That's a North Hollywood
move. I don't think that has to be done. Yeah, I haven't really seen that. You know, I would be a little afraid to.
That's a valley move, Adam.
Valley. Around. That
oh, really?
Joint.
Yeah. You would call that then poor joint etiquette?
I would think so, yeah. I would think that would be a rude ending.
Right, but who's going to roll a joint with Willie in the room? I mean, obviously you would defer to Willie. The honor would go to Willie. So you don't have to worry about some jackass doing the whole suck and lick thing right in front of you. But that's that last move. It's really, it puts everyone off. And, you know, everyone in the room was talking amongst themselves and not paying attention, but I saw that move, and it was like in slow motion to me. It was like... And you got to get saliva on it, or it's not worth doing.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Someone ought to just invent one of those. You ever use one of those joint rollers?
Sure.
Those are nice.
Those are nice, yeah.
True, you use a joint roller?
No, can't say I have, Adam.
I'll tell you, it rolls a tight joint. It looks like a little non-filtered cigarette.
Oh,
but
good.
It's very nice.
Okay.
But let me say this, too.
Well.
Here's what I would say to our caller, Dan, because he was calling about the joint. Right. See, the thing about the smoking it through a bong, it may cut out the harshness. Maybe it's a little easier on the lungs, but you can take in that much more.
That's
therefore,
more
probably has diminishing returns.
Worse,
you know?
On the brain.
Right,
yeah.
Right. All right. And Willie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about pot just a little bit more.
Right.
Have you noticed the potency of this stuff going up over the last 10, 20 years?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things I noticed. Is,
I mean, Jesus Christ, that 30 years ago.
And the price. How about the price of the potency?
Well, that's true.
It's higher than gold now, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is higher than gold, isn't it? Well, what's an ounce?
Lids to ounces.
Yeah, oh, yeah, maybe Will can answer.
Ounces, you know, an ounce of gold is cheaper than an ounce of pot.
How much, where does the term lid come from? Do you remember when you would score a lid of weed in 1974?
Or a matchbox. You remember the matchbox?
Oh, no, I don't remember those. That was an amount?
That was those little penny box matches, you know, that you'd, you'd buy a penny box of matches and empty it out and fill it up and that's your matchbox.
That'd be like an eighth or something smaller than that now. But do you remember what amount a lid was? Because we could never figure it out. Like where the lid came from and what amount it was.
I think that was like
Why that term?
Why did they call it a lid? I'm not familiar. I don't know.
Nobody seems to have the answer.
We had some guy call, remember?
People speculate, but it's never quite satisfying enough. Because they say, like, the lid of a shoebox and stuff, but that's too much. Because a lid is a small amount. A lid would be the equivalent to getting an eighth or a quarter or something.
I would think a lid would be equivalent to a matchbox.
Right. All right, someone's got to figure that lid out. Maybe it was the lid of a chewing tobacco container or something.
Or a coffee can or something.
All right, we'll work this out. Willie Nelson is our guest tonight, and we'll take a little break. We'll be back with more of your questions after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. The great Willie Nelson is our guest tonight. Was talking a little politics with Willie during the break, and Willie complaining that we should get our oil domestically, but I would question Willie for driving all over the goddamn place in that big bus of his and burning all of it. That's what I'm saying.
We burn our share.
You need an electric bus.
A wind-driven.
You need like a
scooter.
Solar
scooter.
A scooter.
A scooter. Land yacht. All right. We will now talk to Martin, who's 18. Martin?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
I know what a lid is and how much it is and where the word came from.
All right, go.
It's an ounce of weed, and it comes from, they used to have these coffee cans in the 60s or something. That's what my dad said anyway. And when you filled up the can, it was called a can, and it's a pound, and the lid part of it was equal to an ounce.
Yeah, they just put. I remember that.
All right,
the plastic lid.
All right, we're down with that now.
All right,
lid comes from the coffee can, and a lid is an ounce.
Yeah,
all roughly. Right. Yeah.
Hey, you guys kick ass, and so does Willie there.
All right, Martin, thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Willie. You know who has the best weed is rappers.
Do they?
Oh yeah. Be Real from Cypress Hill. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, that's good weed. They have to. You know what I mean? It's a letdown to everyone around them. They give them some skunky weed. You know?
I guess so. You're expected to have the best.
Yeah, they raise the bar real high by singing about weed all the time. Now people expect them to come through. It'd be very disappointing if a Snoop handed you a baggie with a bunch of stems and leaves and seeds in it. You go, what the hell's up with this? Yeah, so the pressure's on the rappers. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'll keep that in mind as I travel around.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so ask the rappers. Eric?
Hey guys, what's going on?
You're 29. What's up?
Yeah, listen, my question was a real one, but I got another problem that's really much more serious, and I've been to a lot of doctors, and I haven't found any relief. I'd like to ask Dr. Drew about that.
All right, go.
Over the last 15 years, actually, I've had a progressive deterioration of my memory, and it's gotten pretty bad. I started off having an exceptional memory, almost photographic, and now I'm literally just can't find my way home. I'll do a report, and 2 days later, I'll start to do it again because I forgot I did it.
Wow.
And it's bad. And the funny thing is that if I get high, and I get high very rarely, then I can remember. And I can even remember stuff from the past. I can remember short-term, long-term.
We get high with pot.
Yeah.
And what, do you have any history with speed or ecstasy or anything like that?
Very light in college. You know, I would do some to stay up and study for tests and so on like that.
Any other drugs?
No acid. Just the only two drugs I've done is speed and marijuana.
And how often did you do the speed?
I don't know, once every couple of weeks.
For how long?
I don't know. I can't remember is the problem.
Yeah, because speed is the drug that will do it. Speed can damage memory.
But, Drew, what's the difference between memory and focus? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is memory where he gets lost.
But let me
yeah, but when he gets high, he regains his focus, I would say. Well, he's able to focus
maybe. Less anxious or something.
In a way, I agree with what Adam is saying, because the funny thing is, when I get stoned, I can remember stuff from the past, too, and so it allows me almost to recover the memories.
Right.
And
well, me, too. Like, I can remember being the Super Bowl MVP and winning the Indy 500 and Custer's last stand. I remember all those places I was at when I get good and stoned.
The quality with which he's describing
bringing
all
the Statue of Liberty over here to this country, all the events of my life.
More substantial. Anything else neurologically, Eric? Any weakness in muscles or?
No, physically I'm as fit as I can be. And the funny thing is, the deterioration has continued even though my drug use has gone to,
I understand,
gone to zero. Over
any family history of neurologic problems?
Nothing that's really expressed itself, although my dad seems equally scattered.
Did you go see a neurologist?
I've been to neurologists, I've been to psychiatrists, I've been to every type of professional.
Did they ever do a thing where they collect your urine and send it off like to a children's hospital and look for metabolic byproducts?
To a children's hospital?
Well, there are disorders of metabolism that are more common in children, at least they're sort of associated with childhood. And those are the institutions that have the laboratories set up to detect these things. There's something called metachromatic leukoencephalopathies.
I'm writing as fast as I can, but that's a big word.
Metachromatic leukoencephalopathies, which are basically inherited disorders of metabolism that causes like byproducts of amino acid metabolism, things like that to accumulate and damage brain. And I would, you know, look into that kind of thing. You want to go to like a university setting and talk to a neurologist who has an interest in this area. And because this is something that would take a lot of work to really nail down. It's highly unusual what you're describing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone else has a theory on the lid.
You want to let it go?
Yeah, we'll save it for a second. I want to talk. This kid that was playing Truth or Dare over here.
All right.
I don't remember those days. How long has Truth or Dare been around?
I don't know.
Willie, did you have Truth or Dare growing
up? Sure, yeah.
Probably central.
Truth or Consequences, or Pleased or Displeased, all those shows.
I mean, with the kids, you know.
Parties,
with the girls.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Steve?
Well, he was married by the time he was 16,
yeah.
Don't forget that.
That's true. I guess the Dare was getting married at 16, right? Steve?
Yeah, what's up?
So you're 16, you're playing some Truth or Dare?
Yeah, the other night I'm at this party, and I get dared to kiss this girl. Like, I just met her that night. It was just like a peck on the lips. I get dared to kiss her twice, and she's a sweet girl, really cute. I couldn't manage it myself. Like, she kept telling me I'm a good kisser the rest of the night. It was a peck, and I couldn't manage myself to, like, kiss her back or, like, hook up with her. I couldn't understand what was wrong.
Well, she was saying you were a good kisser later on after the game?
Yeah, she was totally flirting with me, and I couldn't, like...
You're gay. No.
Drew,
no, no. Yeah, I can so relate to this at that age. I just remember being paralyzed. It's like you don't have a repertoire. It's like you want to do something, and it can't happen because you just don't have the mechanism. It's just nothing there. You reach into your bag of tricks and it's empty and you just sit there.
Yeah, well, you don't even have a bag of tricks at
that point.
Yeah, plus you're not loaded, right? You're sober.
Yeah, I'm totally sober.
Yeah, that's always rough, too. I wouldn't even know what to do around. I don't recognize
now,
when
yeah,
I'm sober.
Of course not.
But the thing is, I'm usually not like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was this one special to you in some way?
Not really. Like, I just met her that night.
Really? Were you really into her, though?
Not particularly. She was cute. She was sweet, you know?
You just froze. You just one of those experiences.
I guess.
Well, so what do you want?
Well, I don't know.
Well, are you going to get another crack at her?
I'm going to see her kind of soon, I guess.
You are?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know she's India, so just don't screw it up this time. Yeah?
I don't understand the question.
He doesn't have a question. Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
Just don't screw up next time, all right?
I won't.
And don't talk too much.
Thanks.
It took me 35 years to figure out women don't like the talking. I get Willie smart. He lets his guitar do his talking.
Put a melody to it.
Yeah, it's smart. It's you know, they're always talking about how much they love a sense of humor and all that. No, they don't at all. They should have learned to play an instrument. And the guitar's good, much better. We had our radio agent come in here the other night, Bob Eatman. What was he bringing, a French horn?
Yeah.
That almost hurts you. You get laid less if you can play a French horn than not playing any instrument at all. Do you know what kind of idiot plays the French horn? You just why don't you just cut your nuts off? What are you doing with that French horn?
We thought it was cool.
We were just being nice, weren't we? Oh, you weren't? You liked it. He was showing his French horn off, and I was thinking, why are you playing a French horn for? That's not going to do you any good. You're a geek. You're in the band. You're in the fifth row in the back. You got some fat tuba player in front of you. No one ever got an ounce of poontang from playing a French horn, whereas guitar, it can't be measured.
And
it's off the scale.
What are the reasons there's there to pick up an instrument?
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you, Drew. You're finally seeing things the way I see things. Smart. When did you pick up that guitar?
When I was 6 years old.
Wow. And you've been... I don't know. I know you got your guitar. Has that guitar been with you for...
The one I have,
years?
Trigger is what
we... Yeah, with the hole in it and everything?
Yeah, 30-something years.
And what do you think it... Is it, obviously,
no.
It's your, yeah.
This one, yeah.
Is it irreplaceable? I mean, do you have a couple triggers?
No, well, there are some replicas, but there's no other guitar that I get that sound out of. It's got a very special sound.
How'd the hole get there?
It wore it in.
Well, it's a classical guitar, and you're not supposed to use a pick. There's no pick guard on there, so over the years.
You just wore a hole in it with the pick?
Yeah.
Now, what do you do to safeguard trigger?
Well, I keep it with me all the time. As far as the hole itself, I've had to reinforce the inside of the guitar a couple of times.
Does Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the Smithsonian or anybody contacted you and said, can we have trigger?
Oh, yeah, I've been asked for it, but yeah.
No? Not going to give it up? No. What if you wanted to sell it on eBay? What do you think?
That's different. No, I wouldn't. It's not for sale.
All right, but Willie, let's do something where we get just like a $99 guitar over the Guitar Center.
And just put a hole in it.
I wear it out pretty good, and you call it trigger, and we make ourselves a mint on eBay.
Now you're talking. I can dig that.
Yeah, you better start working in a backup is all I'm saying in case something happens.
I figure we'll wear out about the same time.
All right, so it looks like it just catch on fire and fall apart at any time. You know, in Dukes of Hazzard, it wasn't just a one car.
They had a bunch of cars. Every week they had a bunch of cars.
But they had the General Lee. But what they did is they had a couple replicas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't jump rivers in that guitar, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Then you're right. As long as you're not trying to outrun Boss Hogg in your guitar, I guess it's all right then. We'll take a little break. Willie Nelson is our guest tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number. Oh, forget about that phone number. We don't got enough time for your calls anymore. The great Willie Nelson is here. Willie's CD is called The Great Divide, and that is currently out. Facts of Life and Other Dirty Jokes is the name of the book, and that is out. And also another endeavor close to Willie's heart is his own brand of whiskey. It's called Old Whiskey River. And how does this work? I had a sip of it, and it is very smooth, six-year-old whiskey. But
where's my bourbon?
How does that work? And what's the difference between bourbon and whiskey? Is there a difference?
Well, there's bourbon, and there's scotch, and yeah, there is a difference. And I'm not technically minded enough to tell you how they make them, but there is a difference. This is Kentucky bourbon.
And it's nice because as I was commenting to Willie earlier off the air, that it's got one of those old-time medicine bottles. Like
hip flask.
It's kind of a half pipe.
Yeah. You can keep it in your... It fit nicely into the breast pocket of a old beat-up drinking blazer or something like that. Or into the boot, as Willie pointed out as well.
One time, me and a friend of mine were going to make a lot of money, so we pooled our paycheck and went down to a wet county. We were in a dry county, went down to a wet county and bought 19 half pipes of whiskey. And the cheapest whiskey we could find and took it back up to our dry county. And we wound up selling one half pint and drinking the rest of it.
What year do you reckon that was?
That was probably around 55.
Jesus Christ. That, I mean, you just, as a government, during Prohibition, you had to just know you were asking for it. I mean, didn't you? You're going to cut this country off the booze? Really? Really? You're surprised that folks are whipping up stuff in the bathtub and putting stills up in the mountains? Is that really surprising you, huh? Anyway, I had a swig off of this. Drew has sworn off the stuff since he went after his wife with one of them meat tenderizing hammers last time he got on the whiskey. But I had a shot of this old whiskey river, and it was delightful. Smooth. Didn't even have to back it up with a swig of coffee or bottled water. Dave?
Yes.
You're 21?
I'm 21 years old, yes.
All right, so you've been dating for 3 years.
Yeah.
And you think your girlfriend is bored with sex?
I think so. She doesn't like to have sex with me very often. No. The other issue is that she was raped once, and she won't talk to anybody about it, and one night a couple weeks ago, she got really drunk and she started crying about it. And this was years ago. I didn't even realize that it was an issue anymore.
Well, it of course would always be an issue to her. Whether or not it's the reason she slowly has declined her sexual interest to you, I have my doubts. I would look more carefully at whether or not this relationship is still working. Because a woman, okay. when a woman starts pulling away that way, it usually means something's going on emotionally. Either you're not giving her what she needs emotionally, or the relationship just isn't where she wants it to be.
Yeah, but don't you see what guys do is they focus on the sex, but the sex is really just a byproduct of what they're pissed off about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's what guys do. They're like, we're having great sex. Now we're not having as much sex, or we're having bad sex.
I must be doing something wrong.
I must focus on the sex.
Right.
Whereas women work a little differently. They may be upset about something else. Maybe you're not listening to them. Maybe you're not paying attention to them. So then the sex gets screwed up, but it's not the sex that's screwed up. It's whatever their emotional state is that's screwed up. Will, you've had four wives. You know them, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Willie. And put that on a card, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, this poor guy's been on hold for 72 minutes.
There you go.
Wants to know about On the Road again. Brandon?
I'm here.
You're 23. What's up?
23. How you doing, Willie?
Hey, Brandon. What's happening?
I'm doing pretty good. First of all, you rock, and you've been a role model from me for ever since I can remember. Some faint memories of being at concerts with my parents and just watching you play. Anyways, I did have a question for you. I've been playing guitar for about 14 years, and when it comes to writing songs, I'm not the greatest at writing songs, but I do have a pretty good ability to play the guitar and read music and sing. But I was just wondering if you have a certain mindset or any type of thinking you try and get yourself into before you sit down and try and actually write a song.
Well, it varies, but most of the time if I really want to write something and force myself to write something, I can sometimes get in my car and drive down the road by myself on the highway where it's just me, and I'll come more near of writing something if I'm by myself than I will if I'm, you know, around. On the bus, it's hard to write. And then I think I have a tendency sometimes to be too critical of what I'm writing now as opposed to what I used to write. So I think you should just, if you want to write, go ahead and write and just sit down and write what you're thinking. I think everybody's got at least one song in them.
Yeah.
You have to sort of get out of your own way.
Yeah.
I got the vagina song.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
How's that go?
Maybe one, who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina. I know what goes, I start laughing halfway into it. It never ends up working out, but. Born gay.
Oh, that's another
the
song.
Life is to live gay. Well, maybe I got two good ones in me. Or at least two halves that make one good one. That's what I think I have. Like you say, everyone's got one good song. I have a 30-second, but I have 32 of them, and that adds up to one good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Willie Nelson, our guest tonight. We'll take a last break and be back to wrap up with Willie after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. Well, that's it. The Great Divide is the name of the Willie Nelson CD, and the Facts of Life and Other Dirty Jokes is the name of the book. Willie, it was quite a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We do appreciate you coming on. And now that you know what the show is and we're all good buddies, come back anytime you like.
I would love to, yeah.
We'd love to have you. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo. On the chode again. Just can't wait to be rolled on down that chode again. Or I can have sex with them hookers and sleep like a baby all night.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.